Pro-Life to the Max is produced and broadcast by WOMB 89.9 FM Catholic Radio in Bloomington, Indiana.
Ave Maria, welcome to Pro-Life to the Max, a weekly half-hour radio program under the patronage of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that is dedicated to keeping you informed on local, state, and national pro-life issues and efforts and inspiring you to get involved. I'm Monica Siefker, so very happy and blessed to be here with you today, along with my co-host and companion for life, Rhonda Branham. Thanks for joining us. Well, most of us have been taught since we were yay high that the three important pillars of Lent are prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Well, on today's show, we're going to discuss a wonderful initiative by the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops to incorporate that third one, almsgiving, into the pro-life movement. It's called Walking with Moms, and it challenges each one of us to make the needs of mothers who are facing a challenging or unplanned pregnancy our own. We've got Breanne Varick, the coordinator for the Office of Human Life and Dignity for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis, on the show with us today to talk about this program and the many ways that our archdiocese is reaching out to offer love, hope, and help to those women in need. But before we bring Breanne on, Rhonda's going to start us off in prayer.
Father and maker of all, you adorn all creation with splendor and beauty and fashion human lives in your image and likeness. Awaken in every human heart reverence for the work of your hands and renew among your people a readiness to nurture and sustain your precious gift of life. We offer our Lenten sacrifices on behalf of the unborn, and we pray that the day will come quickly when they are protected in law. Lord, in this Lenten season, strengthen and renew our commitment to be a people of life. We ask these things through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. And let's go now to this week's In the News.
Abortion supporters are looking to make the abortion pill more accessible to women by capitalizing on the COVID-19 crisis. According to current rules designed by the FDA, the abortion pill can only be dispensed by a clinician in an approved hospital or clinic. An abortionist with ties to abortion pill manufacturer Danko Laboratories is leading the call for the FDA to at least temporarily lift its bans on the use of telemedicine for chemical abortions under the guise of patient care and avoiding in-person appointments. Lifting the FDA bans would enable the abortion pill to be sold legally online or shipped into pharmacies. Live Action notes how such a move would transform average working people like pharmacists, postal carriers, and parcel delivery drivers into unwitting abortion providers. In addition to this attempt to try and expand access to the abortion pill, the pro-abortion American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists published a statement saying that abortion is an essential component of comprehensive health care, and as such, it must not be placed in those categories of procedures that can be delayed during the COVID-19 pandemic. And according to Life News, a National Institutes of Health researcher has asked the federal government for a waiver to allow the use of aborted baby body parts in coronavirus research. Kim Hossenkirk, an immunologist at NIH, hopes to use humanized mice created with human tissue from aborted babies in his research to discover a cure for the virus. According to reports, a sensitive internal dispute is going on within the organization as to whether such experiments would even be fruitful. Dr. David Prentice, a biologist and advisor to the Charlotte Lozier Institute, believes Hossenkirk is exploiting the national outbreak to push unethical research when ethical alternatives are already seeing progress. This seems an example of not letting a serious crisis go to waste and another attempt to justify the horrific practice of trafficking in aborted baby body parts, Prentice said. And as the call comes from the U.S. Surgeon General to halt all elective surgical procedures, Operation Rescue has observed how abortion centers throughout the U.S. are ignoring those guidelines. This, as at least three abortionists have admitted that they are in self-quarantine after exhibiting symptoms consistent with the coronavirus. Because those infected with the virus are able to infect others before symptoms even manifest, it raises the question about what steps are being taken at abortion facilities to ensure the safety of women and mitigate the spread of the virus. Troy Newman, president of Operation Rescue, stated, "In reality, abortions are elected elective procedures and should be halted while we battle the coronavirus. The sooner we can flush this virus through, the sooner there can be relief for people who are hurting due to the shutdowns of legitimate businesses. Abortionists and their clinics should not be exempt. They should be closed immediately, Newman declared. And finally, 21 unborn children were slaughtered this past Thursday at the Bloomington Planned Parenthood, with over one-third of the mothers coming from out of state. Three women from Kentucky, three from Tennessee, and one from Louisiana joined several Hoosier women in coming to 421 South College Avenue to have their unborn children killed. Sidewalk advocates noted that foot traffic earlier in the week had been very slow, leaving Abortion Day as their busiest time. And that's your weekly In the News. Imagine for a moment if someone you knew confided to you that she just found out she was pregnant and she just doesn't know if she can do this. Would you know what to say to her or how to get her the help she needs? Well, we can talk a lot about ending abortion and saving the lives of the unborn and their mothers, but it's an entirely different matter to actually know how to provide that practical help that can make all the difference in the world between life and death. Everyone who calls himself pro-life should be able to at least speak a few words of love and peace to that pregnant mother in need and to know where to refer her so that she can get the emotional and physical help she deserves. Well, the U.S. bishops had this in mind when they initiated the program called Walking with Moms in Need, a year of service designed to encourage Catholics everywhere to commit to supporting women within their own community by making use of local resources, improving parish responses to mothers in need, as well as prayers for building up a culture of life and love. And here to talk with us about this project is Breanne Varick, the coordinator for the Office of Human Life and Dignity for the Archdiocese. Breanne, welcome, and thanks so much for taking the time to be with us today on Pro-Life to the Max.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Now, Breanne, why don't we first have you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to this position in the Archdiocese?
Sure. So I've been in this position, I think I'm starting my third year. I'm here at the Archdiocese. My background is actually in nursing. I'm a registered nurse. I was in the ICU for about 10 years before I felt like I was ready for a change. And as I was looking for a job in the medical field, I was looking for something that could be more flexible with family life as I was discerning marriage with my husband. So I am married and I have a daughter. Her name is Rose. And she is going to be 1 year old in April.
Oh, wow.
And
sweet.
Yeah, so we've been married for got married in July of 2018. So it'll be our 2 year anniversary in this. I mean, what did I say? April? I mean, July. July 2018. And it'll be our 2 year anniversary in this July.
So you've had a lot going on then with career change, new husband getting married, new baby. Wow.
I know I led a retreat for some parish nurses when I first started, and it was about burnout. And they're like, they gave like the risk factors for what causes burnout,
and you've had them all.
And she just pointed at me, and she's like, "New job, planning a wedding, new marriage, and you're pregnant, so you are at high risk."
So next week we're coming up on the 25th anniversary of Pope St. John Paul II's encyclical, The Gospel of Life. Okay, that's the Solemnity of the Annunciation, March 25th. And so the U.S. bishops wanted to do something special in light of this important anniversary, and the result was this program called Walking with Moms in Need. So let's just start there. Can you tell us just about the project and maybe start off in general terms, and we'll get into the details as we move along here?
Yeah, you gave a beautiful introduction of what it's all about when you opened up the segment. And really, I was asked in this past July to do an inventory for our diocese of what resources we have on a diocesan level and on behalf of the archbishop to turn into the USCCB. And they were just collecting this information in preparation for this initiative. And what they're looking for is for all parishes to take that same inventory of their local communities of how they are helping and serving moms in need. Because the conversation that's been happening at a national level from the USCCB is looking at, with hope, that Roe versus Wade will be overturned. And mm-hmm. what are we going to do when abortion is eliminated and is in fact illegal? Are we equipped and ready to take on the necessary measures to help these women who are still in crisis and need our help, and so that we can help them have a family, choose life, you know, even when it's, you know, illegal? So that's kind of what they're looking for is, are we ready to be in a world where abortion is illegal, and are we ready to meet these women and help them?
That is so awesome. I mean, what a good motivator, and what that's helpful to keep that in mind, because that is our end goal, right?
Yeah. Now, Brianne, is this program going to look different for each parish, and like what would a program look like that would reach out to a pregnant mother?
Yeah, so what really this initiative is, it's take an evaluation, like I said, an inventory of what you're already providing as a parish and what are your resources that are nearby. So if a woman were to come to you in need, would you know how to give her help? Would you be able to support her as a parish community, or is your parish not equipped for that and you just refer her to another agency that's nearby? And I think it is parish to parish. Some parishes have the capability to take on these women in need themselves and help them in any way they can, whether that is with accompaniment or with meals or with material goods for their baby, financial help, you know, whatever it is she needs, finding her shelter. But sometimes it's a smaller parish. Maybe they don't have a lot of volunteers or financial resources to do this. And so they just need to be aware of what agencies and not necessarily even religiously affiliated, because that's something important to keep in mind, is that we, like all people, are called to help,
mm-hmm.
Help life and to, you know, help, and it's an ecumenical effort. So, you know, what's happening in nearby Christian churches, mm-hmm. or governmental agencies, how can we help them connect to those already made services? Because I think a lot of times, because we do not know what the resources are, we reinvent the wheel and we burn out. And so how can we find out what's already happening and connect people to those resources and only start up things that are gaps?
Mm-hmm. Okay. But would an end result or an end goal be to develop programs that might not exist but that could exist in these parishes?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes, I think that that is definitely one of the initiatives. Goal is to identify what those gaps are, and if you are capable as a parish community to develop something that could meet that gap, meet that need, then, or fill in that gap and meet that need, then absolutely there's going to be resources from the USCCB to help you do that.
And I know one of the ministries that the Archdiocese has had for a while that you're kind of describing that reminds me of right now is the Gabriel Project.
Yes. Yes, that is a, and that's actually, the Archdiocese supports that initiative. That was created outside of the Archdiocese, okay. and it's its own not-for-profit. But several parishes have it. Mm-hmm. I think that it was a more flourishing ministry maybe, you know, 10 years ago, mm-hmm. Maybe even 5 years ago. I don't know, 5, 10 years ago. But I know it's something that is wanting to be reinvigorated and to know about. I know that the Criterion are, my office's reporter, Natalie Hofer, is going to be, you know, interviewing and highlighting some of these ministries that cover the archdiocese in all the areas. You know, what's happening in each deanery? What are these ministries, and how can it help your parish?
Wonderful. So we'll be seeing that in the upcoming Criterion editions then.
Yes, it should. And she's going to be spreading them out, I think, along this year, March 25th, 2020 to March 25th, 2021.
Yeah, so keep your eyes on that, and that'll be a good informative piece, as I'm sure there. Yeah. So Archbishop Thompson, he wrote a beautiful letter about this project that I think it was sent to every priest and parish in the Archdiocese. So how important is it that the pastor of a parish get involved with this initiative?
I think the Archbishop is supportive of this initiative, and he has been in a lot of contact with me, making sure that I have all the information that I need, and appointing me as the diocesan, archdiocesan representative. And he's, you know, given me free rein and to encourage this into the parishes. And so I think he's very supportive, and he wants to give the pastors any resources they need in order to implement this. And the fact that he was willing to write a letter shows his support. I know he allows his pastors to adopt it if they feel like it's necessary for their parishes. So I think he gives them, the pastors, their freedom too, but he does endorse this initiative and supports it wholeheartedly.
Okay. So do you feel like our Archdiocese does a good job of providing adequate resources for mothers in need, especially for those who are facing challenging or unexpected pregnancies?
I think that we do have a lot of resources and services. I think what needs to be done better is communicating what those are. I think that's what's going to be beautiful about this initiative, is unveiling what's actually happening in the parishes. Mm-hmm. And I know we talk a lot about that on leadership level at the Catholic Center. Like, I know that there are awesome things happening in parishes, and other parishes need to know about it. Because like I said, there's a lot of replication, and a lot of people start from scratch. Maybe something they don't need to start from scratch. Maybe it's being what they want to do, what they envision, is being done really well in another parish. If we can share those ideas and those resources, I think we could be more effective and more fruitful.
Yeah, so what are some of those ways that we can share that?
Sure. Well, I think they're going to be coming up with more resources for how to communicate. I'm hoping to, with each parish participating in the inventory, adding their resources, the programs that they do, how they advertise and communicate with moms, and taking all that and putting it on a Walking with Moms in Need website on an archdiocesan level. So hopefully I'll be able to, you know, take all that inventory and have it in one place, listed by deanery, so that people can know by area where the resources are for that area.
I recently sent out a
newsletter of ministries that I already know of that are happening, some that are coming directly from my office and some that are coming from Catholic charities, so, and crisis centers that I know of. And hopefully more will come out through this inventory, and it will be better communicated with everybody.
Okay. So Indiana's abortion rate is about 5.9, and which that means that for every 1,000 women of reproductive age, 5.9 women are having an abortion. Now, this is significantly below the national average, which is 13.5. I think our state ranks about 11th lowest. Do you think that the help and support that is available to women works to keep this below the national average? And in your opinion, do you think we can get this rate even lower?
You know, I think we do have a very strong pro-life community, people who are praying outside of abortion facilities. We have a very active Right to Life of Indianapolis that are trying to and working with lobbying on in the government and trying to get laws that are helping and protecting and putting more restrictions on abortions. And I think that the services that we provide to help women in need are definitely keeping this average low. And what your other question was, what can we do to keep it lower?
to get it even lower.
Yeah, and I think that the one issue that we do have is not making it widely known what these programs and initiatives and resources are.
Okay.
And I think it's a good, and I also think that this is a good time to get reinvigorated, to like revamp these ministries, to get, I don't know, to get a little fire under some people to,
because
I think, you know, we've been dealing with this issue for so long.
That's exactly right. We've grown weary of it. Yeah.
Yep. So I think this is like a new breath. You know, John Paul II talks about a new springtime, and I think the time is now to remember that these women really need our help and to get reinvigorated.
Yeah, because you know what? Almost every parish has a St. Vincent de Paul Society, right? Or they've got groups to help the poor and the homeless, and wonderful. But you know, one thing that seems like we are lacking is something solid that's singularly dedicated to working with mothers in need. And so it would be nice to have that in every parish, right?
Yes. I mean, I think that just having someone who is your expert on knowing what those resources are, and that's kind of like what the Gabriel Project was meant to do, was having like a group of people who would literally accompany women who called in for help. They would be like the experts of knowing where to take you, the resources, and they would accompany you along that journey. So that model is a beautiful model in accompanying women, because I think that, yes, women need, I mean, being a mother myself, yes, we need material goods to help our children and to take care of, lower that stress of meeting those material needs. But also there's a lot that you need emotional, spiritual, mm-hmm. and just some support and some companionship, because mm-hmm. it can be a very stressful and isolating time of life if you don't have community.
Okay. So with this Walking with Moms program, now is this something that the priest should initiate? What should, can somebody go to him and say, hey, I'd like to do this? How's that all going to work?
Well, I think that the most successful programs are going to be ones that are supported by the pastor. So it is encouraged that the pastor be involved, whether it be how involved that is might look differently with each pastor in each parish. So he might initiate it from himself, and I've already gotten a few emails from people who've been appointed by their pastor to take on this initiative, to form a team and to do the inventory and communicate it with the parish. But if there's someone who they're not hearing that from their pastor, but they feel called to make this happen in their parish, I would definitely encourage them to approach their pastor and see if this is something that they could do, but definitely with his approval.
Okay, very good.
Okay. So if a parish feels that they already have a good pro-life plan going on and they're already out there helping women, how can the Walking with Mothers or Walking with Moms in Need program be of benefit to them?
Yeah, I think that you might open up some new doors in seeing what is available in your community and not just in your parish. So again, like looking at what's being done in your parish, looking at what's being done with your community. And I think it's going to be beneficial just to even share what you're doing. It might not even take that much effort just to share it with me, share it with the Archdiocese, so that, again, we can see what programs are happening that we might not know is happening. And that can be shared with the greater community and, again, help others figure out what maybe needs to be done in their parish. So I think, the minimal, just sharing what you're currently doing, whether that, and not necessarily starting anything new, just communicating what it is that you're doing that's helping moms. And that might be very beneficial for other parishes who are looking to do it better.
Okay, good. Okay. And you probably know this, pro-lifers and even the Catholic Church in general, too, we're often portrayed as merely pro-birth or anti-abortion, and that we do nothing to help women in need and moms and babies after birth. Now, is this a fair criticism?
I think it can be sometimes. I think definitely we need to work as a pro-life community on continually converting our hearts, because and what that looks like, how we talk to the community around us. We definitely need to be pro-woman as well. We are definitely pro-baby, but the language, especially that I'm being taught and encouraged to use, is to remind ourselves that we're not just pro-baby, we're also pro-woman. And what does that look like? So actually, I added on this newsletter that I sent with some initial resources, our Project Rachel Post-Abortive Healing Ministry, as a ministry that does help moms in need. These mothers lost their baby to abortion, and they're in need of some great healing. So that's another way to kind of look at it. And because it is something, we're not helping women by giving abortion as their only option. And so healing, they're in desperate need of healing because, they come to realize that they lost a child.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? In John Paul II's Evangelium Vitae, anyway, chapter 4 is devoted to this whole service of charity, right? And I think he begins to, he quotes James 2:14, faith without works is dead. So we do, it is that conversion of our hearts and the continued conversion of the pro-life movement to give and more of ourselves and to really, to help to be doers of the word and not just sayers of it. Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. I think that, we have to put our actions where our mouths are. So, if we're saying that we're pro-life, and I think prayer is very important, but there also has to be some active help to these women.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Absolutely. To trust that we really are there to support them.
Absolutely. Because we're body and soul, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. We have to take care of the other corporal and spiritual needs.
Yeah. So, Brianne, can you give us a couple of concrete ideas of how we can be most effective in helping to build up a culture of life and love?
Well, I think that, especially with this initiative, I think just trying to really take a hard look at what it is your local community is doing. And I think the first step in this initiative is prayer. So even if all you do as a parish is pray for moms in need, mm-hmm. I think that's a good start. You can do that as an individual, small group, community, as a parish. On the website, Walking with Moms in Need, they have a prayer that the USUCB wrote, and it's very beautiful, and I think that's a good place to start.
And then And can you tell us the name of that website? It's walkingwithmoms.com, is that correct?
Let me look. Walkingwithmoms.com.
Okay,
yes.
Good.
So that really gives you all the materials, prayers, things that help you get started in your parish to make this initiative happen. And also, look for existing service opportunities. I don't think you need to recreate a lot of service. There's a lot of agencies and parishes and Catholic communities, Catholic charities. There's ministries with the Archdiocese that you could get plugged into and just do a little bit of service to walk with these moms in need as well. So, like, for example, Birthline is something that we do in the Indianapolis area. And then I know that there is St. Elizabeth Crisis Pregnancy Home in New Albany as well. So, I mean, there are pregnancy homes, there are material outreaches, there are crisis pregnancy centers, even just working in a food bank, you know, you're giving or working with a WIC program, you're working with giving food to moms as well, or trying to start a Gabriel project at your parish. I mean, there's a lot of things that you can do.
There are, aren't there? Lots of good ideas right there. And Brianne Varick, Archdiocesan Coordinator for the Office of Human Life and Dignity, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us on Pro-Life to the Max today. And God bless you for your dedication and for all you are doing to help build up a culture of life and love right here in Central and Southern Indiana.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Well, our Lord's words in Matthew's Gospel, "For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. A stranger and you welcomed me. Naked and you clothed me. Ill and you cared for me. In prison and you visited me," are very much directed toward those of us involved in the pro-life movement. Pregnant and parenting moms need not only our love and emotional support, but they also often need our tangible physical help as well. Walking with Moms in Need is a year of service designed to do just that. Whether it's spreading the word through social media about the resources that are available, donating your time and treasure to a local pregnancy care center, or throwing a baby shower for a mom in need, let's be sure to spend time in prayer over these next few weeks of Lent to see how God might be calling us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Lives and souls are at stake. Thanks so much for joining us today. May your Lent continue to be a blessed and fruitful one. Until next time, let us heed the warning of St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe that the most deadly poison of our time is indifference. Let's pray for one another that we may be consumed with the desire to save lives and souls, to give the greatest possible honor and glory to God. Ave Maria.
Ave Maria.
Thank you for listening to Pro-Life to the Max, a production of WOMB Catholic Radio. To learn more about this program and how you can help us to continue to produce and broadcast this content, visit us online at WOMBradio.com.